Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit who moves and changes us. Amen. I said in the first service that I would be brief, and I failed. I will be brief, and I shall not fail. Two powerful stories engage us this morning as we begin to think about this thing called the Trinity, or these people, these relationships. And the first story is a seminal one for us. It is the story of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God speaks in this story creation into being. It comes with a word. And with more words, God creates ocean and land and separates the lights from the lights and creates stars in the sky. And in this wonderful tale of God's interaction with all that God has made, God creates the animals and the plants and sea monsters and leviathans, crawling worms, ticks, ants, and even bedbugs. It is a glorious tapestry that describes God's deep and abiding relationship with what God has made. And then God, in this first of two creation stories, creates the human ones. And in our translation for this morning, it says, "And God put the human ones and gave them dominion over everything that God had created." It is for me a poor choice of words. A better word, a better translation, is that God set them as stewards over all that God created. Because as you know, if you give a man dominion over anything, he'll mess it up. But set us as stewards. That implies something altogether different. That it isn't ours to own and to use up, but rather that we are placed as caretakers to have a relationship with that which God created. The second story is in the Gospel of Matthew. When the disciples finally had gone to Galilee and to the mountain that Jesus had directed them, and they saw him and they worshiped. And our text says, but some doubted. I read that over and over again this week, and unfortunately, it's the wrong translation, and I'm very seldom bold enough to say that, but unfortunately, the word "some" simply doesn't appear. It really reads, "And when they saw them, they worshipped him, and they doubted." Not some of them. It just says, they worshipped him, and they doubted. And he looked at them, and he came to them and said these words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then the kicker, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This incredible commandment, again, God speaking God's creation into being. And with words, just like in the creation story, God sends us out to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and make disciples. Some have said that this is the best evangelism strategy. You know, one of the problems, of course, is in the church is that we're dying. Fewer and fewer people are coming to church. I've said that the last couple of weeks. And our evangelism strategy often, in response to this little command of Jesus, these words, is to find more people to die with us. And it seems to me a poor way to go. It isn't what Jesus intends. Or sometimes if you're hanging around church councils for too awfully long, and they've now gone through, or actually any nonprofit, but particularly churches, they're going through the budget and realizing that the amount of money going out doesn't match the amount of money coming in. And so the answer is that you have to get more money coming in, yeah? So you can't squeeze blood from the stone, so what do? We need more people. If we had more people, we'd have more money. I looked again and again at Matthew 28, and I couldn't see anywhere in there where Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and get their checkbooks, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." What Jesus does talk about is being stewards of people. That as God has spoken God's creation into being and placed us as stewards over that creation, so we are called to be stewards for the whole world. God has planted a garden and called us out into it. Jesus' disciples were there, and he tells them, "Go and make disciples. Baptize. And live." To borrow another story in the scripture, the story of the plantings. You know, in some churches, when we think about going out into the world and baptizing and making disciples of all nations, it's a little bit like either rocky soil or good soil or, you know, all that kind of good stuff. Sometimes when we go out, we plant that seed in the world and it lands on rocky soil. It can't grow. In some places, the church has chosen to be a place of hatred. And that's really difficult. In some places, the entire gospel for those churches lies in moralism and hatred. If you do not agree with us, you're going to hell. And they march and they spread their language of hate everywhere, and it's poor stewardship. It looks more like dominion to me. In other places, it maybe falls on the path. And it goes down quickly, and it starts to grow right away, and it looks really great. And we sing songs, and everything seems so nice until things become troublesome. And then we die and wither away. But in other places, the seed can fall on good soil. And I think that's where I put Lutheran Church of Honolulu. It's just my opinion, take it or leave it. But I believe that God has made good soil here. That seeds fall on it and they grow so beautifully. But somewhere along the line, we sort of step out of the role of good gardener, good steward. We forget to water the garden. The seeds want to grow, and they start up, and they look so great. They're great little flowers. But we don't invite the power and the water of the Spirit to pour down God's grace on it, that it can become a great shade tree. I think we want so desperately to be good gardeners Maybe we're distracted sometimes. Maybe we're just too busy. Maybe the cares of the world are too difficult for us. Or maybe sometimes we're so busy trying to garner checkbooks that we forget about the hands attached to them. I don't know what the issue is, but I know there's good soil here that God has gifted us with. A soil where God's seed can grow and flourish. I think the question becomes, what sort of gardeners, what sort of stewards will we be in this world? Will we be gardeners who look at God's justice and peace and God's love for God's creation and God's passion for those people that God created on that day and lift them up? Will we water them like we will today with Emma Rose? Will we pour water on each other? Will we live wet and full lives with that heady smell of God's spring in the air? God has set us as stewards of God's creation, but also as stewards of God's people, of all humanity. Here we are, a rich and fertile garden in the midst of a desert, an oasis for those who thirst and hunger, who seek transformation. What kind of gardeners will we be for this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How will we live out God's richness and God's grace? How will we respond to God's words? Will we make disciples of all nations simply so that we have more people to die with? Or will we make disciples so that God's kingdom will grow rich and full? Go therefore and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.